Welcome to
BirdWorld.com. A podcast for those involved in designing, developing, and running websites. This is what everybody waits for. Hello and welcome to the 18th episode of BoagWorld.com, the podcast for all those involved in designing, developing and running websites on a daily basis. And welcome back after our Christmas break. Hurrah!
I can't remember what we do.
We just seem to waffle for a bit and that's about it.
Yeah. Waffle a bit, then listen to you talk about sort of techie stuff.
Techie stuff. The whole point of this podcast is it's not techie.
Well, techie to me.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean... The wheel is taken to you, isn't it, really?
That was a really good invention, though, wasn't it?
It was very clever. So, did you have a good Christmas?
Very good. I was only off for the 1 week, though, Paul.
Unlike the three that I managed to take off.
Yes. Yeah.
But I did take that on my holiday, so don't
worry. I should bloody well think so,
well,
too.
Yeah.
I had a very, very good Christmas indeed. And strangely, it's like going back to school, isn't it? I'm actually quite enjoying work at the moment. I think
that'll freak.
It'll last till Wednesday, I reckon.
See, I'm not like that. I'm the complete opposite. I always hate going back to work and going back to school and stuff like that.
All right, and then you start liking it.
Yeah. So what did you get for Christmas?
I got a bike.
A bike?
Yeah, it's like being 12 again.
Wow, how exciting.
It's really cool, isn't it?
Yes. I got a video iPod, which is obviously
nowhere near as exciting as a bike.
No, I think video iPod's much trendier.
Oh, my wife bought me a bike.
Also, I got World of Warcraft, so I now spend my whole life doing massively multiplayer games. Have you heard of World of Warcraft?
No.
Oh, dear. 5 million subscribers, the biggest game online ever.
What sort of game is it?
It's like one of these kind of sword and sword fantasy type games.
You play
in a persistent world against, you know, 5 million other people. It's, well, not quite like that, but that's the idea. It's the one that had the big plague go through on it. You remember on the BBC site they were talking about there was a plague?
No.
You've no idea what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about, Paul.
I can't believe how ignorant you are. You should be ashamed of yourself.
No, I liked Half-Life. That was my kind of game.
Yeah, it's not Half-Life.
No.
This involves intelligence, you know, and planning.
There was a bit of puzzle solving.
Puzzle solving? What do you mean puzzle solving?
Well, you get into a situation, you think, how do I get out of this then? You'd have to work it out.
It's just running around shooting one another, isn't
mostly,
it?
Mostly, mostly,
that's
yeah.
where you liked it the most, as a multiplayer, yeah. when you got to shoot me.
Well, that's true.
Which didn't happen very often, let's be honest.
You have a strange memory of those times, Paul.
Okay. Anyway, I'd like to moving on quickly before we kind of get into
something about making these podcasts a little more professional.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Half-Life, mostly.
Yeah, and somebody did say that you can skip over the first 6 to 10 minutes. One review I read about our podcast. First 6 to 10 minutes, you're wasting your time. It's just waffle. Skip past that and you get to the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Maybe there are some listeners out there
that like this
bit.
Pointless waffle.
As soon as you get into the bit that's actually
they
got any
off.
Kind of content about it, that's boring.
Yeah, I'm sure they exist.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I'd like to do in particular is welcome our new listeners. Over the Christmas break, when we haven't been broadcasting, mm-hmm. our subscription levels have jumped up. So what does that say? When we shut up, we get more subscribers.
Yes, yeah, that's probably quite true, actually.
Part of that, I think, is to do with the fact that we were rated one of the top 10 tech websites on somebody's site that then got listed high on Dig. And if you know anything about Dig, if you get listed on there, you kind of get masses of traffic the whole time. And also the fact that I think loads of people got iPods for Christmas. Do you know that I was reading?
Yeah,
I was reading somewhere, somebody, and probably totally unsubstantiated, that said that on the build-up to Christmas, Apple were producing 100,000 iPods per day.
Wow.
That's a lot of iPods.
Yeah, and good for Apple.
Yes.
I like to say, because it's like, you know, I don't think their share of the PC market, well, the computer market, is anywhere near what
Be
iPods
careful,
was.
You're on dangerous ground again.
I like them, I think they're fantastic things.
Okay. I thought you were about to slag off Mac owners again.
No, not at all.
As you like to do.
No, you're worse at that than I am.
Oh, well, yeah, possibly. okay, so just if you are a new listener and you haven't heard Boag World before, just to explain that Boag World, as I introduced it, is a podcast not just for people that develop and design websites, but also those that run websites. You know, there are a lot of people out there that work in marketing departments and have had, you know, the website hoisted upon them, and they need some information to get them going and to get them to understand how to go about managing a website. And you might not be actually doing the build yourself, but you still need to understand the basics of how the whole process works. So hopefully Boag World has got something for you as well, and we try and avoid techno babble, so there shouldn't be too much kind of technology talk here. Okay, so I feel that we skipped over an important element, which was how great we are.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And talk for another 10 minutes about that.
Yeah, I'm sure we can make. I'd like to read to you, Marcus, because I don't suppose you've actually read it yourself.
I did read this.
Oh,
course.
You did read yes. This. This is what has been said to
good
us.
PR.
Well, I could pretend that I'm reading it to you. Well, actually, I'm reading it to everybody else to boost my ego.
Okay, go on.
So this is what was said about us when we appeared in the top 10. List of tech web tech podcasts.
Just read the first five words.
British podcasting at its best.
Full stop.
Yeah, you see,
I know your name hasn't been mentioned.
Yeah, yet, which is the important bit, really. It's so the whole thing. And by the way, we were rated alongside Dignation and a Twit and really big podcasts like that. So I feel very honoured and privileged.
Okay. Somewhat embarrassed, actually. But
well, yes, horribly embarrassed. Okay, so it says British podcasting at its best. Boag World is the brainchild of Paul Boag, not Marcus Lillington. Paul Boag. And it's a podcast.
He's brought this madness up.
And it's a podcast that manages to be entertaining and informative in a world of web design. A web design / accessibility specialist in the same mold as Zeldman. Paul is joined by some other guy, a colleague from a web design agency from which they take their practical knowledge and experience and share it with the world.
Which is spot on, every single world.
Yeah, the thing that, the only thing that concerned me slightly, right, is I posted post on Boag World on the blog, kind of feigning embarrassment at the whole thing, and
I did think you overdid that.
Yeah,
but there you
and
go.
That, you know, obviously I don't really consider myself in the same mold as Elman. And then the guy that put the original list together actually responded and took me seriously and thought that I really was embarrassed by the whole thing. And in order to make me feel better, said it was tongue in cheek when I said you were like Zeldman.
At which point you cried.
Yeah, which kind of just ruined the whole thing and completely shattered my illusion to grandeur. So then I began to kind of read the whole thing again, right? British podcasting at its best.
Yeah, who else does it?
Exactly. Yeah. There aren't that many English people that are doing tech podcasting, is there really? In fact, I can't think of any others. So on that basis, we're both the best and the worst at podcasting.
Best of one.
Yeah. So anyway. Enough of how great we are, or I am, more importantly. Well, I didn't get to be a pop star, did I? All talking of which...
thank you to all my fans out there.
Yeah, Marcus has been getting a ridiculous number. I think what's happened, another reason why our subscriber base has increased, is because all of these middle-aged housewives that used to worship the ground you walked on have all discovered you do this podcast, right? And it's interesting, right? Because when I went to the App Media conference, App Media conference last year, right? Yeah. Room full of designers and techies and people like that.
Yep.
How many women were in that room?
Oh, one.
There were about six out of 320, right? So it's a male-dominated. We have a suspiciously large number of female people listening to this podcast, and I think it's because of you. Because you are a sex god.
What can I say to that, Paul?
Anyway, we're not...
But yes, more than one request to have Hands to Heaven as the theme music.
No.
Every week.
More than one?
Yeah, there was. There was.
People writing to you directly now.
Paul won't let me.
No,
sorry.
No, I won't. It's boagworld.com, not lillington.com. Honestly. Okay. I want to apologise to all of those that have taken the time to email me over the last 3 weeks. As you know, I was banned from using the computer and had to sneak in the occasional go when my wife wasn't looking. So I haven't been able to respond to them all. I have responded to those that have directly asked me questions. At least I think I have. For everybody else, thank you very much for your encouragement. If you have a question or an email and or a comment and I haven't responded, then just send it to me again and I'll try better now I've cleared my backlog. That sounds really dubious, doesn't it? Cleared my backlog. Okay, the final thing to... This is the longest introduction I think we've ever done.
I know, I'm just...
You're sitting there, right? You get bored. Start biting your nails and staring into space. The other thing that is worth saying is that we're going to change the way we're going to do the Boag Wheel podcast. That I've kind of been thinking about it a bit over Christmas, and I feel we lack structure.
No.
You don't say.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to break each podcast down into little segments or some more of segments.
I need to do that little bit of music for you, don't I?
What, between each segment?
Yeah, a little ping. Or
yeah, that would be cool. That isn't going to go on these ones because you're not going to do it that
it's
quick,
not
are you?
That quick.
No. So one day we one might day. Have a little thing.
By February.
I'm sure there must be a fancy name for that.
Yeah.
That is little jingle.
Every time I go... can't think of it.
Anyway, so yes, we're going to break it down into little segments. The other thing we're going to do is we are going to work through consistently in the subjects we do. So far, we've kind of just picked random subjects each week, and that's been great, and it's kind of got us off the ground and stuff. But over the next year, what I want to do is work through the process of building a website from the very, very beginnings right the way through to the site going live and then what happens after it goes live.
Yep.
So each week, we're going to take a different subject, trying to work through in some kind of chronological order. And hopefully that will give a bit more structure. So think of it as one of those magazines that builds week by week into a lovely collection.
Well, that's it. You've just ruined it, Paul.
Have I? Okay. So we're going to try and do that.
Expecting to spend $12.99 on next week's episode now.
Hey, cool.
50p on the first one.
Yeah.
No, it's all free.
Nah.
Damn.
Yeah. I think we probably ought to start charging because the quality of this is so good that I'm sure people will pay for it.
Brilliant, yeah. I do actually think that it's a very good idea to do to go through the website building process. And it's worth saying that we are going to go into some pretty major detail on it as well.
Yeah.
I've looked at the list and thought, how can you talk for half an hour on that?
Well, you don't need to because we're doing the little segments and because our introduction's at least 10 minutes long.
Yeah, true.
It means that you don't have to. Okay, so the first segment before we get onto our main feature, I want to do each week, I want to do a little techno buster bit where I take some of the kind of techno babble that web designers spout out and try and give a clear explanation of what that actually is. Now obviously these will range from endless acronyms that don't really mean anything to more broad concepts. And for the first week I wanted to take probably a broader concept, which is the whole hosting and domain name issue. So what inevitably happens when you commission a website, especially if it's a redesign, which let's face it, the majority of websites are these days, the first question that your web design company will ask you is, where is it hosted? And they'll ask about DNS records and all kinds of stuff that you'll just go, ugh. So I'm going to go back to real basics. So if you are a web designer, I do apologize for this bit. You can fast forward for the next 30 seconds or whatever. Because what I want to first of all explain is what a web server is. Let's start absolute basics. That when somebody says, where is your site hosted? What they mean by that is, where are the files that make up your website physically located? All right. And what they will be, where they will be is somewhere there will be a computer, not dissimilar to your desktop computer, that sits there with the files that make up your website. And that computer is in turn connected to the internet, all right? And the way that people find that computer is that every computer is assigned a unique number, which is called an IP address. So it's something like 192.168.0.1 or something like that. Actually, that's an internal address. But anyway, that's beside the point. So it'll be a unique number like that. Then what happens is it's mapped, that associated with that unique number is a domain name, which will be www.boagworld.com. So when someone types in boagworld.com, it goes and looks up that name, finds out what unique number is associated with it, and then goes to that computer and then pulls back the files. So that's the basic of how hosting a website works. So, but for the majority of you, if as project managers or people running websites, when your web design company asks all of that, all you need to do is point them at the people that currently host your website, and then they have a techie conversation between them. I would suggest that you really never need to get dragged into that conversation yourself, and I would complain to your web design company if they make you do all of that, because it is horrible and there's a lot of complexity that I haven't even touched on. The only thing you might have to do is give your existing hosting company, let your existing hosting company know that you're giving permission to your new web design company to arrange all this stuff for you.
Because, you will have to do that.
Yeah, because sometimes they're funny about security and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, basically you just have to, it's like setting up the web design company as a proxy that can work on your behalf. You have to do that.
Yeah. So there's two pieces of advice I want to leave you with before we move out of this subject. One is, be aware that when you move your hosting from one location to another, when you add a new site, there could be a 48-hour delay where your site is not available to some people.
Have you ever seen a 48-hour delay?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Haven't you?
No. It's always like, oh, when that'll take 48, even 72 hours. I've said, and then it's up in the next 4 hours.
It depends. That depends on,
I know, it's various.
your ISP.
Exactly.
So basically, what happens is that, you remember I said that every that when you type in a website address, it goes and looks up that name and finds the associated machine. Well, those are there are basically other machines that kind of list that relationship. So your own, so if Marcus is connecting to the internet through, I don't know, WannaDo or somebody like that, then it will go to the WannaDo name server and look up the name. So obviously when you make a change, it's got to notify all of those name servers all around the world that a change has taken place, and that's what can take 48 hours.
Yeah.
So it depends on your ISP as how fast that happens.
Yeah.
So that's one piece of advice. The other piece of advice is, don't forget email.
Ooh.
The number of occasions that we as a web design company have moved somebody's domain name from one location to another, only to discover that all their email also goes with that domain name and they lose all of their email. So make sure you tell your web design company that it's important to transfer their email across as well.
My advice would be, keep email and website separate.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, I think that is good advice, but not everybody's in a position to do that. Okay, so that's the Techno Buster section. Insert cool music here.
Bing.
Great, thanks. So let's move on to the main feature.
Yeah.
Which is, right, so we're starting at the very, very beginning of developing a website, okay?
Which is, do we even need one?
Do we even need one? No, I haven't actually done that. Well, not directly, well, have I? Sort of. This kind of does it. I'm making the assumption that most people have already got a website. Which might be a naive assumption, but that's the one I'm working on. So the question is, do you need to upgrade your website? Is it time to refresh your website? How do you make that decision? Why do you even bother upgrading your website? And will I always be upgrading it? Am I always going to be... Does it? Because it really feels like that sometimes, doesn't it?
Yep.
Good contribution there.
Well, from a content point of view, you should always be upgrading it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about design and functionality.
Well,
and
I mean, hopefully, once you've done your new website, then upgrading the design will be that much easier in the future, so it won't be so much of a, we need to do this again.
Yeah, because things are moving on, and with web standards and all the rest of it. Yeah. Okay, so let's start with the basic question of, why upgrade your website in the first place? Well, I think you kind of need to accept that the internet is a very different beast to any other medium. you know, it perhaps if you open a shop, you don't think about refurbishing it every 2 to 3 years. You know, you maybe refurbish it once in a blue moon. Equally, if you have a big catalogue, you only update that when the content changes. You know, you don't think, oh, I need a new pretty design. You don't change your logo every 2, 3 years. So why on earth do you do that on the web? Well, I think one of the primary reasons is because that there really is no such thing as brand loyalty on the internet, or it certainly is very hard to achieve.
Minimal.
Yeah. So to give you an example of what I mean, when your competition is only a click away, it's easy to flip from site to site and do comparisons. It's not like going out shopping, I don't know, for... you know, a new car stereo, where you go to the place you went to last time because it's less hassle than it is looking up a load of places in Yellow Pages and driving from one place to another endlessly. Exactly. You know, on the internet you can just click and there's the next site. So the need to keep refreshing the look and constantly engaging users on your site is much higher on the web than it would be in any other situation. The other thing about the website is that we're at a very early days on the web still. You know, it's still only, what is it, 10 years old or something like that. A bit older.
It's 12th birthday, really, isn't it? Everyone sort of says 94, don't they?
Yeah.
Although it was earlier than that.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. You know, for practical purposes, it's still a very young medium.
Yes.
And it's changing at an enormous rate. So a site that was designed 2 years ago looks like it's been designed 2 years ago. You know, it will lack some of the functionality you see in sites today. It will lack the design style you'll see in some sites today. We're still, the whole industry is still learning all of the time. And so things become very dated and need kind of a bit of love and attention. Otherwise, your site looks neglected and users start to wonder whether actually this is an active site. You know, do I you know, if the design doesn't look up to date, does it mean the content's not up to date and all of the rest of it?
So it's keeping up with fashion to a certain extent as well.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Especially, it depends on what your site is trying to do. But if you're trying to sell something relatively trendy, then you have to keep
That's part of it. It's part of it, and it's part that the way that users interact with websites are changing as well. So, you know, for example, there was a stage where users would never scroll down. Mm. Well, actually, that's beginning to change. Also, there are changes in the technology that have been used to access sites. So people are running at higher resolutions and all of that kind of thing that go towards making a site appear a bit dated. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that leads me on to my next point, which is that users are changing the way that they behave, and so you need to kind of keep up with the way they now interact with sites. The fact that when the web first was around, people would take more time to read sites and digest what was there because there was less to look at on the web.
Yep.
Now there's so much. We've learned all kinds of shortcuts of how to scan through content, or quickly identify what it is that we want. And because of that and many other reasons, user expectations have changed and user behavior has changed. I mean, one thing, for example, is that people now expect navigation to be in a certain place, search to be in a certain place. Now, when you designed your website 2 years ago, those conventions might not have existed, and so you need to update accordingly. And then finally is to ensure compatibility, that a lot of websites that are old are built in such a way that they're not going to be very compatible with some of the more modern browsers, or indeed with some of the alternative devices like mobile phones and things that I think are going to become bigger and bigger and bigger over this next year. So there are a whole raft of reasons why you need to upgrade your site. I guess the next question is, when do you go about upgrading it? How do you identify when it's time to upgrade your site? Well, basically what I've done here is I've written a whole list of questions, and I think if the answer to you know, several of these, perhaps not just one, but several of these is yes, then the chances are now is the time to upgrade your site. So my first question is, does your competition have functionality and features that you don't have? Fairly self-explanatory, really. Mm-hmm. You know, if your competition are getting ahead of you, you need to run to keep up with them. And I think this is going to be a bigger and bigger thing as you know, the web becomes more and more competitive. In a post I've just made on the BOAG World site where I make predictions for 2006, which is the kind of thing that you have to do. It's not just predictions, but it's also advice for website owners as to what they need to keep their eye on. One of those is that you need to keep an eye on your competition. And I believe that 2006 will see more and more of them adopting things like web standards, for example, which will make them much more responsive. They'll be able to be much more quick off the mark on making changes and updating their site. And there's an example of where, you know, your competition can get ahead of you if you're not careful.
Absolutely.
So does your competition have functionality and features that you don't have? Marcus, do you want to do any of these?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we kind of... the next point is, does the design of your site look dated when compared to others? That's often the point when the new marketing director, or you know, this imaginary new marketing director joins a company, he goes and says, this site looks out of date.
Yeah.
And often that can be sort of poo-pooed a bit. But it does matter a lot, I think. It can put puts users off. Going back to what you were saying about the competition being a click away, if it simply looks old-fashioned, chances are that person with the site that sort of fits with the current fashion, what's fashionable within designing sites, they're just automatically going to be get more of the user's attention. So
yeah,
it is an important point.
And I think a lot of people perceive fashion trends as a bad thing on websites. Mm. And also that, well, I want my site to look timeless. Well, I'm sorry, but nothing looks timeless. I mean, you only need to look through your photo album, you know, especially yours, actually. you know, and you look back at the 90s and the 80s and the 70s, your haircuts change, your clothing changes, you know, the music you listen to changes, everything alters and things do move on. Now, that's not to say that your site needs to be gimmicky and overly fashionable, but things like typefaces that are used, layout styles that are used do change over time.
Well, we're working with a client at the moment who are going through this exercise. The design we did for them back in 2003 is very rich, lots of colour, awful lot going on, and that probably doesn't fit with what I see with new sites. Up-to-date sites at the moment are very lots of white space, very little going on.
Yeah.
Okay, that's like two ends of the spectrum, but it seems to be a good way of
and a lot of those a lot of those fashions are triggered by us learning more in the web as well. So for example, in that example you're giving there, I know one of the big features were when we originally designed the site, we wanted it as little as possible to be below the fold. In other words, you didn't need to scroll.
Yep.
Now that's become, as we've learned as much as anything, that you know that you can get away with that with certain content, so it allows you to let the designs breathe more and have more space.
Yeah.
Also, I think somewhere in that period there's been this flip over between 800 by 600 users and 1024 users. You know, people are running at high resolutions, so that means there's more available on the screen at any one time anyway.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so we've got, does your competition have functionality and features that you don't have? Does your design of your site look outdated compared to others? Now, does your site fail to show new product lines or still feature out-of-date products? To be honest, you need a slap if this is the case.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I would think that's pretty rare, but it probably does happen with smaller e-commerce ventures or companies that their e-commerce, you know, that slice of their business is only a tiny portion of it.
Yeah.
So it gets ignored, but it shouldn't do. You know?
Or even potentially clients that don't have the ability to update their site themselves. Mm. You know, there are still a lot of websites out there that are like that. I think because of the sites we work with, where basically we always pretty much offer some kind of content management system, and if they had products, we certainly would.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost hard to conceive that there are actually sites out there where people don't have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's still a really important area. So, yeah, I mean, in my opinion, that one by itself, if you've got that problem, then you need to do something about it. It might not be a complete rebuild of your site, but you certainly need to resolve that.
Definitely, yes. Next point, has your business model changed so that the content on your site is not relevant in many places? I mean, we went through that, didn't we, with Headscope?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Was it that the business model changed, or was it...
Yeah, I suppose it's just what we offered had started to change.
Yeah.
So it changed the
cover. Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. And also we were much smaller when we wrote that.
Mm.
And we were almost, you know, on the Headscape site, we were almost trying to sound cool because we were small.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still relatively small. There's only 10 of us. But, you know, we're more grown up now.
Definitely. Yeah, so, I mean, and that certainly is the case. I mean, if you leave a website for 2 or 3 years, the company will have changed.
Yeah.
Whoever you are. Small, big, small.
IBM. I don't think you'd have changed a huge amount over 2 years,
Yeah, but you'd probably break IBM down into lots of different websites.
Yeah, I suppose so. To be fair, yeah, I'll give you that. Not that I like to prove you wrong on every point you ever come up with.
Yeah, you can't, that's why.
Are users not staying on your site as long as they used to? Obviously, in order to be able to establish that, you need to be able to get to grips with your web statistics. And really, that's a whole conversation in its own right. And I can't remember where that's on the list of things to cover.
It is.
It that is.
Will be. Hang on, I'll find it. Carry on.
Is it that one?
There we go. It'll be the 21st podcast.
21st?
Yes, and we're on 18. So.
Right. So not long then,
no,
before we get into web stats. Oh, well, I won't go into it too much detail here. But obviously, if you're looking at your websites, if you're seeing the length of time people are staying on your website is reducing, and if the number of page views are reducing, if the number of people completing your call to action are reducing, then you need to start thinking about, you know, improving your site. I don't think you can take any one of those three things I've just listed there in isolation. So you can't say if the length of time people are staying is reducing, you can't take that by itself, because potentially it might be because they're more familiar with the site and they're getting to where they want to go quicker. Okay, let's move on. I guess probably the next subject worth covering is repeat traffic, and whether you notice a drop-off in the level of repeat traffic you're seeing on your site because the number of hits are going down. Also, most stats packages these days provide a differentiation between new and returning users, so you can see how many are repeat users. I've said it before and I'll say it again, repeat users are probably the most important type of user on your site, because a user has to visit your site multiple times before they complete the call to action. So a really important one, I think.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out that, I mean, you don't have to do a complete site rebuild to help cure that ill, if that's what's happening.
No, that's true.
You can you could add some kind of news management system that would give you the ability to put news, updated news stories on your site, that kind of thing, and obviously updating your products, as we covered earlier.
Yeah, so I mean, news articles, blogs, anything like that, you know, we'll encourage users to come back again and again. It's all about just stopping your site being dry. You know, if things haven't changed on your site for a long time, you need to update it. It's not rocket science. And again, that then applies to leads and contacts and sales through your site. Are you seeing a decline in the number of leads, the number of contacts you're getting through? I mean, that's
Headscape.
Yeah, that's why we did Headscape, wasn't it? We were seeing less leads coming through, so we realised that we needed to change something.
Yeah, I mean, it was when I think a client actually said, we're thinking about not working with you because of
your website,
the state of your code,
yeah,
or something like that. It's like, okay, right, yes, that really is affecting things.
Yeah, now, that was quite an obvious example. But yeah, we were seeing a drop-off as well in our traffic as well. You shouldn't tell people things like that.
Well, you've gone on about the state of the code of the old site for years now.
I know, but not that other people have commented on it. I don't know, I'm not being logical. So, no doubt you're left here sitting thinking, yeah, okay, so you're telling me
tick some of those boxes.
Yeah, I'm able to tick some of those boxes, but ultimately you're a web design company trying to persuade me that I need to spend more money with web design agencies updating my site. You know, I feel like this never ends. I feel like, you know, we barely got the last one up and working, where when somebody's coming along telling us we've got to do it all again. Am I going to spend the rest of my life updating our website every 3 years?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You wish, Marcus.
No, I'd say you're going to do it every 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're really going to sell them on that. I mean,
there's a reason for saying that.
Go on then.
I'll come on to it. Oh, no, I'll talk about it now. We mentioned earlier about the client that we're chatting with at the moment, who've got the kind of 2002, 2003 design.
Yeah.
What we're actually discussing with them is the possibility of redesigning their site every year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I won't go into detail of why, but there's a very good reason for doing that. It's to do with the print material that they produce, which changes every year. And basically the fact that what we're trying to persuade them to do first and foremost is to upgrade the website so that it's web standards compliant.
Right.
That will give them the ability to much more simply upgrade the design,
yeah,
to fit with the printed material every year. So I wasn't being facetious when I said that.
No, I mean, you're talking, and it goes back to what I've posted before on the BOAG World about that there needs to be a shift almost in the client designer relationship, yeah, where there's an ongoing relationship and that sites are being constantly involved in preference to a huge capital outlay every 2 to 3 years to upgrade the site. But I think it's worth saying that I think things will slow down naturally anyway.
Of course they will.
I mean, yeah, several people have compared the internet and the technical jumps that we've made at the moment as a kind of period of enlightenment, much like, you know, the Renaissance, or much like in the Industrial Revolution. And I do think that technology is a bit like that at the moment. Mm. And what has happened traditionally when you have these golden ages is you have this huge burst of rapid change and rapid progress, and then it slowly slows down and becomes more manageable.
People find the best way of doing things.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's going to happen with the web as well. So this isn't going to go on forever. But I do think you probably need to make a shift in your mentality that websites are an ongoing investment. They're not, you know, it's not a one-off expenditure.
Absolutely.
Depressing but true.
Well, yeah, but if it does its job, then it should.
It makes money back, and yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's about it for our first of our main features of 2006, which was deciding on when to upgrade your site. So another little feature that we want to add into every episode going forward, insert, again, fancy music here.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, very nice. Getting more ambitious. It was just a ping last time.
Hey.
I'd like to kind of point you at useful web resources that might help you out, either as a project manager or a designer or a developer. And the first one I've got for you to check out is actually something that helps all three of those audiences. It's a site called sitepoint.com. Now, probably if you're a developer or a designer, you've already heard of the site. It's certainly got loads of good old techie stuff you can get your teeth into. It's got good design advice, some brilliant articles, really good interactive forum, regular blog posting. It's a very active site. They even produce their own range of books, etc., etc. However, if you are not a project manager, if you're not a designer or a developer and are just running a website, then I still recommend this site to you. But don't be put off when you first arrive. You kind of arrive on the homepage and it looks very technical, but actually there is loads of content for you as well as a website manager. So some examples of the kind of stuff it has site strategy, stuff on legal issues, on writing content for your site, on organizing the structure and the information architecture of your site. Stuff on how to market and promote your site. There's a really great community forum of other website managers you can talk to and discuss stuff with, and there are loads of people on the forums that you can also ask questions in order to check up that your web design company is doing their job, and perhaps get answers to some of the techno babble that people throw at you in order to confuse you.
Yeah, I've read most of the content writing stuff on there. It's excellent.
Yeah, it's a really good site.
Very good indeed.
It's a really good site, and it's really got something for everybody. Mm. So if you have some spare time, check out sitepoint.com, and hopefully that will be of use to you. Okay, so let's wrap up. Upcoming episodes. I can actually say what's going to be happening over the next few weeks.
We were asked to do this months ago.
Yeah, we were. So I'm doing it now.
Yeah,
woohoo. Now, bear in mind that we record two episodes back to back. So this week we're recording, obviously, the one you're listening to, episode 18. And we're also going to record episode 19, which will go out on the 16th of the 1st. And we'll be understanding your target audience. That's the subject for next week's show. So there's no point of sending in questions for understanding your target audience, because we're going to record it in about 10 minutes. So, that's not one that you can respond on. But the following two after that, which will be recorded on the week of on Monday the 23rd, are success criteria. So in other words, how to judge whether your site is going to be a success or not, and the working with WebSnaps one that we mm-hmm. talked about earlier. So if you've got questions either about success criteria or working with WebSnaps, if you get those into us by the 23rd, we will try and answer them in the shows that we record then. So the success criteria one will go out on the 23rd, and the WebSnaps one will go out on the 30th. So hopefully that's confusing enough so that we don't get any questions. Did we make that confusing? So 16th of the 1st will be understanding your target audience. 23rd of the 1st will be success criteria. 30th of the 1st will be working with WebSnaps. If you have comments and questions, you can either send them to paul@boagworld.com. Or if you want to tell Marcus how good Breathe was, you can now email him. He's got a Boag World address at marcus@boagworld.com. And as normal, don't forget to check out the boagworld.com site and associated forums and comments. And
I was thinking
stuff
particularly
like
on sending in comments, it would be a good one to send in your Techno Busters. What do you want explained?
That's a good idea. Mm. Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah, so definitely, you know, if there are things that you've heard that you don't understand, send them in and we can look them up and then tell you.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah, with the Boag World site, don't forget there is a forum associated with the Boag World site, and also on all of the posts, including the posts associated with the podcast, you can post comments up there. So sometimes it's quite good to put your comments on there, because then other people can respond to them as well as us. So check out the website. Have you got jokes?
Next week.
Oh, so next week is in the next episode. So you've only got one set for the two
podcasts.
Well,
the second podcast is always a little more flat and dull, so I thought I'd save them for that one.
What do you mean? Are you saying we lose momentum as we go along?
Not me.
Not you. Not you. So, in other words, I'm crap second time round.
No, I'm only winding up.
Okay, well, then we will see you next week on episode 19, Understanding Your Target Audience. Thanks for listening. Speak to you soon. Bye.